Blog Talk Radio.
The horn. That is Nazim Rashid. Good morning. He's on his album, River Nile, is on Amazon.com. He's one of our sponsors. We thank White Apple Institute for being a sponsor of the Student to Teacher radio show on internet this morning. White Apple Institute provides grants and consultation to teachers and students in disadvantaged situations. So make sure you check out their website and take out a membership, okay? Very, very inexpensive membership that gives a lot of benefits. This is Professor Applewhite. I'm enjoying a great cup of coffee this morning, and I'm enjoying the word optimism. And I think that's real important this morning to keep that in the forefront of what we're going to talk about today, is how to be optimistic in this changing times. Today, part of the changing times is the phenomenon of angry students, violent students. And where is that coming from? Where is that anger coming from? We've done 3 episodes already. This is our last episode on this particular topic, at least for right now. So we really appreciate you being part of part 4 of teachers discussing angry and violent students. We have guest speakers today. I'll introduce them in just a moment. Right now, what I wanted to do is make sure that we're all on the same page with what this is all about, kind of recap a little bit on some of the things that we've discussed already. We started off, and we can't ever forget the word love. And I used love several times throughout this broadcast. I love you out there, all those listeners. I love me. I love you. I certainly love God. I know our guest speakers are coming to us this morning, Habibullah Salim and Kelmer Muhammad. They're coming on board, and they will be sharing more from a loving standpoint about how we can reduce anger. But, you know, when I talked about love, I talked about a loving communication. And I mentioned a man by the name of Carl Rogers, who was, to me, one of the greatest communicators that ever lived. And he was a psychologist, humanistic psychologist, which means that he dealt with people understanding more their purpose and having loving concern and regard for others. And he wrote about the concept of communication. And I just want to make sure that we never forget the great stuff that Carl Rogers shared with us. And one of them is about the factor that when teachers and students, which we all are at one time or another in our lives, that when we don't want to miss, when we're listening to somebody, we don't want to miss hearing them and listening to them. And Carl Rogers says, I believe I know why it is satisfying to me to hear someone. When I can really hear someone, it puts me in touch with him and it enriches my life. And so these are some of the suggestions that we want to give teachers out there, is that we want to encourage you to touch a student's life. Increase your communication skills. Students, you can do the same. And somehow or another, in doing that, we can reduce the amount of anger and violence that we're seeing with students today. And when we say students, we're not just talking about those from K through 12. We're talking about you lifelong learners out there, your students of life. So this show is really applicable to all of us. It's not just about angry students in an academic classroom. It's about angry people everywhere. okay? Carl Rogers also says he's learned to ask himself, can I hear the sounds and sense the shape of this other person's inner world? Can I resonate to what he or she is saying so deeply that I sense the meanings he is afraid of or she is afraid of, yet would like to communicate out of a very loving and dear concern for another human being, what he called unconditional regard. Those are just some of the things that we had covered from Carl Rogers' expose on communication that he did. And it just, if you ever want to get into how to communicate a little better, pick up some of his stuff. I mean, it's back in the 60s, but it's great stuff to follow. We also had, we capped on the violence statistically, what's going on in our schools and outside of our schools with adult learners, even in a college setting. The anger and violence there is just unbelievable. We're talking about an average about 3 out of 10 students in any type of environment, 3 out of 10 people basically, are prone to anger and violent attacks on other people or even on themselves. Check that out. That's really something. So, we have to get into what truly anger can be as from a positive standpoint that we need to, and I went through that with you about the biological aspect of anger, and that anger is a way to increase our adrenaline. It also is kind of a cleansing for us. But I noted to you that for those of you that do not express anger and do not allow others to express anger, what you're doing is inhibiting their ability to cleanse themselves, to actually grow. Because what happens is that anger, not taken care of, not addressed, usually goes into depression. And so we know that depression, I don't have the stats on that, maybe one of our speakers do, but the stats on depression is just, they're just unbelievable. So we understand then there are a lot of people that are not expressing their anger, which is necessary, but it's also important that we express it within a some kind of boundary that doesn't allow it to get into a sense of violence where we're trying to hurt ourselves or hurt others around us. So this is something that we want to impart not only to students today, but also to teachers, is that when you're angry, teachers, students are seeing that anger. And you may be angry about a number of things out there, your own personal life, your own professional development, the way your administrators treat you, the way other teachers treat you. You might be just upset about the economy overall or the fact that they're pushing you to update your skills, and it's additional schooling and additional time and watching how many students pass the test, and you don't feel that's right, that you're the only responsible person for this student passing a test, and that's supposed to identify what your needs are. You may be angry about that. There's lots of things for teachers to be angry about. There's lots of things for students to be angry about, too. Some of them you'll hear today. Let's bring on our guest speakers this morning. And we will first go, if that's okay, to Kelmer Muhammad. I believe she's calling in this morning. Maybe that's got a lot of people on the switchboard this morning. I'm going to try to get to everyone here. Let's see what this number is. Hi, good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Yes, it's Habib al-Salim.
Habib al-Salim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll be introducing you, as a matter of fact, in just a moment. And we have Kelmer Muhammad here.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Greetings. Kelmer, good morning.
Well, good morning.
How are you, Ms. Kelmer? Professor Kelmer, it's good to hear your voice this morning, and I wanted to introduce you first on our show this morning and then bring on Habib al-Salim. We have so much to share about you and what you've done as far as educating many children and encouraging them to, I guess, to expedite their progress by getting their high school diploma out of the way and going on to college at a very early age. We certainly appreciate you for that. And we appreciate that you've got some information to share with us about why are teachers even discussing this issue about angry students, and what is that all about? And is it possible for us to, I guess, reach a solution in just four discussions? We've had four discussions on this, Professor Kelmer, and it's not enough. It's not enough on the subject of violence and anger in the nation's schools and colleges. And so we hope that you're going to share some things with us that people can pick up from the show at a later date, because the show is archived. So if any of our listeners out here have to leave the show, you can come back later and pick up where you left off, put it on while you're having a cup of coffee, and listen to the show. And call somebody. Call somebody up and tell them they really need to get into this show, okay? And hear what different speakers are saying, different guests are saying on the show about education as a whole. Let me bring on Habibullah, and then I'm going to ask both of you a question, okay? All right?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Good morning, Habibullah. Habibullah Salim is an educational consultant for over, I think, 40 years. I'm telling your age here. I know that. Okay. But you've been at it for quite a long time. And I think that just in knowing you on a personal level, I have really gained appreciation not only for your knowledge base, but for the way you can put words together. My goodness. You can give Habibullah a sentence, especially, you know, if it's education-based, and before you know it, he has some kind of rap, some kind of poetry behind it, okay, just fluidity, and it just it's just great. It's exciting to hear you speak, Habibullah.
Thank you very much.
I hope that you can help us today in the overall picture of what this show is really all about. I mean, this episode, of course, is focused on angry students, and I know you have some ideas about that particular subject. But overall, we'd love for you, if it's not today, but another time, for you to come on and talk about what the foundation of this show, our expected outcome, is that teachers will not burn out. And students will not drop out from the, and that will reduce that current rate of dropout and burnout. And boy, I would love a rap on those particular things. So keep that in the back of your head, my dear brother.
Yes, ma'am.
So Kelmer, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you decided to get into the educational field. And why you're so involved with the younger ones?
Well, because mainly because of my educational background and my history of growing up in the Nation of Islam as a little girl. My parents came into the nation prior to 1975-64, so I was born in the nation, and as a young child and a member of the Nation of Islam, I was always taught by my mother and father and by my teachers, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that mm-hmm. education is important.
Oh, okay.
And so I have always, I mean, you know, our parents, I was always rooted into learning all what I can learn. And so I started as a young child. And many children growing in the Nation of Islam, we are not taught, you know, the normal things of, you know, going to school and playing with dolls and things like that. Mm-hmm. We were slapped with the information of how, you know, the planets and who was the original man. And basically we were fed knowledge at 3.5, 4 years old.
Deep
so
stuff.
Basically,
that deep stuff.
Right. So basically, growing up in the Nation of Islam as children,
mm-hmm.
we were taught and fed knowledge of the world from the time we can walk and talk and start reading and writing. So
mm-hmm.
as that type of influence was given to me as a child, as I grew up as an adult, and I became I became educated, and the schools that I went through, University of Arizona, University of Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and I have children, I
mm-hmm.
start seeing a trend that, you know, our school systems in the United States were not teaching our children the basics. And so
mm-hmm.
when I graduated from the University of Arizona in Tucson, I became a substitute teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think that's when I was floored by the educational system. I was teaching a third grade class, and they were doing math, and all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
the children came out with calculators.
Mm.
And I asked them, what is this? What are you doing with calculators? And they were telling, the teacher, instructors telling me, oh, no, they use calculators at third grade rather than learning multiplication
mm-hmm.
because she was saying that they don't need them.
Wow.
They don't need to learn their multiplication because they're going into the technology field, and so calculators will always be around them, so they don't need
mm.
calculators to do multiplication.
Mm.
I was floored because
mm.
I used to get spankings to learn my multiplication, and here I am teaching third graders how to do multiplication, basic multiplication, and they have calculators. Now, this was in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And after I left there, and I was grown. I mean, basically, I got into the educational field as a fluke because I was a pre-med student, so there was
mm-hmm.
no way in the world anyone could ever tell me to be a teacher because I saw this system. And when I started, and you know, because of loss of job and income, I, you know, finally someone told me, you know, there's newly developed charter schools, you know, why don't you try that? And I was like, okay, well, I don't have a teaching degree, I just have a bachelor's. They said, you don't need it. And that was in 1995, 96. So when my first teaching job was fourth grade education, and there, that's when I found my calling. And I started teaching the children the basics, and from then on, I said, no, we need to just go more and more. And so finally, make a long story short, that's where I found my calling. And
that's beautiful.
Education.
That's very beautiful story. Thank you. I don't think that's very heartfelt. And I'm going to come back to you in a minute because it sounds like you almost started your career off in an angry situation about the system. So it's very interesting. I'd like you to lead more into the anger that you have and that you've heard expressed by students and by teachers alike about why they're angry. Habibullah, tell us a little bit, Habibullah Saleem, I love that name, by the way. Tell us
Thank
a little
you.
Bit about, you know, why you became involved in education. What's a little bit about your background?
Well, my background was that I was very excited about sports.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually in my life, I learned why I was so excited about sports. And that same kind of excitement wasn't really there in classrooms.
Mm.
I was looking for the same kind of excitement in classrooms that I was experiencing in sports.
Mm-hmm.
And the same kind of team effort, the same kind of cheering for each other and what have you. And
right.
it bothered me as to why I didn't get that same feeling in class. So
mm-hmm.
I was always anxious to get out of class and go to practice.
right.
I wanted to go to practice because practice, you know, I felt much freer. I could use my hands, you know, just use my hands and my ears, my legs, my feet, you know, all parts of my body. I could now release them.
Yeah, that
but
kinesthetic,
when I got in school,
kinesthetic learning, huh?
Yeah, I got in the classroom. It seemed like I was handcuffed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, the coaches that I had, they were always loaded with inspiration, you know? You can
mm-hmm.
do it. You can do it. You will do it. You know, don't worry about it. I have confidence in you. But when I walked in the classrooms, I didn't feel that same thing wasn't happening. So,
yeah.
So teachers were easy. It was easy for teachers to put me to sleep. Okay? When I wrote my book, I ended up writing my book, Dead Teachers Should Not Be Allowed to Teach Live Students.
That's right. That's a dead.
So,
what is it again? Dead. I love the title of that book. Dead.
Yeah. Dead teachers should not be allowed to teach live students. And so,
that's all right.
So I became disappointed in school. Not from the fact that I love school. I love going to school. I never wanted to stay home. But I never wanted to be buried. I never wanted to be buried when I got there.
Right.
You know, I want to keep that excitement in school and out of school, and I found out that I could really grab and hold on to it when I was out of school. So I became interested in replacing or giving youngsters that which I didn't receive when I was in class, and that was high motivation.
Right.
High motivation, keeping the battery alive, keeping the morale up, teacher morale, student morale, parent morale, principal morale. Everybody needs to have the morale uplifted to the point that all the other parts of the automobile will function, because when the battery's dead, the horn doesn't blow. When the battery's dead, the lights don't come on.
That's right.
And so many people are attempting to reach youngsters today without first charging the battery, making sure the battery is alive. So that's what excited me. So I started teaching through drama, using theater, using poetry, using music, using exercise, drill, you name it. I wanted to keep youngsters excited. Now, once they got excited and I got them hooked, then we could always, you know, tone it down some, what have you. Now, you know, we have to read. We have to use dictionaries. We have to write sentences. We have to know how to spell. We have to know how to communicate with each other, as you were saying. So anyway, when you talked about optimism, and I looked into that word optimism, I saw the word mist, M-I-S-T, mist. Those letters are in there, mist, M-I-S-T, mist.
Yes,
and it says that which is floating or falling in the atmosphere. That which is floating or falling in the atmosphere, that which is dim or blurred. Okay? So optimism, we needed optimism to keep from floating or falling in the atmosphere. That's what I was
wow.
I was floating in my classes. Okay?
Yeah,
I was
you are truly a psycholinguist. That's the word I need to push out there for you, because you're a psychologist and linguist. And
okay.
you understand psycholinguistics, which is, you know, understand looking at words and really pulling out these various meanings. And it goes back to the beginning of language. So,
yes.
That was really just beautiful the way you did that with optimism.
And so that optimism, that mist is also talking about a cloud of small particles. A drink of alcoholic liquor. Isn't that something? A drink of alcoholic liquor. So we become drunk if we're not careful about what it is that we're eating or drinking while we're in the classroom, because I look at classrooms as restaurants. How do we feed the people, and how do we serve them in terms of the food and the drink? And if that restaurant is contaminated, then the youngsters will not want to come back and eat from that restaurant again.
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Now, you spoke, I just want to mention something else before you go to somewhere else. The word anger. That word anger, it has in it the letters G-E-A-R, gear. Gear. Once our youngsters get out of gear, because of what they hear, E-A-R, ear. Ear is in the word anger. And rage. And rage is in the word.
Okay.
Age, they don't. So what I'm saying is the way teachers talk to youngsters. The youngsters are reading the teachers all the time. They're reading their peers all the time.
Yes.
And when they hear something that's contradictory to their nature, okay, then they start turning the teacher off and turning them off, which means that they start disconnecting from reality.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers have a very shrewd way of disconnect, and not even knowing it, that they're disconnecting these youngsters from reality.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
The original disappears. Instead of love and happiness, here comes anger. Because you can only be connected with love as long as you're not disconnected. See, because otherwise, when you unplug the refrigerator, when you unplug that refrigerator, everything in it will start going bad.
That's right.
So you have to stay plugged in. And many times, teachers sever youngsters' minds from the learning, not even knowing it. So
Here's
now, the word, I want to just say that, the word optimism, it has in it the word, it has the word MOP, M-O-P is in the word optimism.
Okay.
Stop, S-T-O-P is in the word optimism.
Yes, it is, that's right.
Stop, S-O-P, stop.
Oh.
S-O-P is in the word optimism. And you also have top, T-O-P.
Okay? Oh,
okay.
All right.
So it says we need a mop to stop the sop in order to get back to the top.
There you go.
That's,
I tell you, that play of words, I'm sure that Professor Kelmer is hearing that play of words and she's probably smiling herself and saying, wow, that's all right.
Okay. And the last thing in optimism I want to mention is that we have the word SIP, SIP, and we have the word TIP, TIP, TIP. So they make students SIP, SIP, while they themselves TIP to the top.
Right. How about
We're
that?
We're so busy SIPping while others are TIPping to the top. So we have to become more aware and more alert. And I want to just I want to read this one poem, and let's hear this one poem, and then get back to anything else we need to talk about.
Okay.
It says, "Defective education, the magician's plan. Defective education, its purpose is fake. The innocent for centuries unable to escape. A false lesson plan for the innocent to fail. Never was it meant for them to prevail. The shrewd magician, his ego is to gain. Minds in reverse, suffering from shame. Those in charge deceptively rule. That's why the innocent don't want to go to school. So many pushed out the gimmick. And you find the word gimmick in the word magician. You find a G-I-M-I-C. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So many pushed out. The gimmick is hidden. Oppressive education, minds well written. The clever magician, students put to sleep, labeled unteachable, refusing to compete. Effective distractions, quick to want to dance, tricked into pleasure while others advance, injecting the poisons that gradually kill. Hidden are the poisons in our everyday thrills. Professional magicians promoting imitation in 2012, regressive education.
Wow.
Targeting the innocent, the total sum, made to feel stupid, others feeling dumb. Parents misled, caught up in the scheme. Defective education destroys the dream. Students seeking violence as well as crime. Defective education destroys the mind. Out of control, mean and cruel, some being bullies, defying the rules. Defective education, the magician's plan, the seeds of education embedded in sand. Failing to read, failing to write. Defective education, the opposite of right. Not graduating at all or possibly on time. Defective education destroys the mind.
Wow. Wow. Well, I would love a copy of that.
When you talk about defective, in that word defective, you have S-E-E-T. You have the word feet, meaning the foundation. Defectiveness destroys the foundation for learning. It destroys the original. It destroys the original nature of the human being. So that word feet means the foundation has to remain strong, and we have to be careful because our feet connect us with the soul of learning.
Right.
Our feet connect us with the soul of learning.
That's it.
And when our soul is destroyed, everything else doesn't function properly.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's where the fuel is, isn't it?
That's where the fuel is.
So
that's optimism and anger. Anger takes you out of your gear, Are you out of gear? Push you out of gear. And optimism wants to make us so that we can overcome that falling, that mist, that floating and falling mist in the atmosphere.
Well, that anger, we'll go back to Professor Kelmer, and as she talks about anger, and I'm sure she has, I'm going to let you just take the floor and give your comments to Habibullah Saleem for that great expose that he shared with us. But, of course, we want you to focus on the question that I asked earlier also is about, you know, where you feel this anger is coming from. Sister?
I'm here.
Wow.
The brother here, wow. It's a lot of knowledge, what he just came out with. And that's a nice poem. Is it an original poem? Did you write it, brother?
Yes, ma'am. I write all my work. I write it. I thank the Creator for just blessing me with the talent that I have in terms of being able to put something together just like that, you know. So I'm familiar also with the Nation of Islam and like you said, the urgency for education. I ate at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's house. I ate at his house. I had dinner with him at his house. And it was about education. That was the reason I went there. To all the teachers. And so I've also opened up and introduced Minister Farrakhan in the past as well. So I got to know him. Matter of fact, he referred to me as the educator.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, the educator.
Too. Well,
so I'm familiar with the history of the Nation of Islam.
All right, wonderful, wonderful.
Well, the thing that I'm going through the perspective as a quantitative person.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Apple, when you presented the topic to me, I looked on and I researched about why are college students angry,
mm-hmm.
and why there's so much violence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the statistics and the research, it all has to do with grades.
Grades?
You know, some grades, you know, getting those
grades. Oh, yes, that's right.
And
great.
What's happening is that there is a trend, it's a grade inflation trend that's growing among the college. And, for example, between 1991 to 2007, among the private sectors and as well as the public schools, during from 1992 to 2007, it was like a grade basis points where these schools were inflating the grades, because in order to get into those schools and to maintain the grade, basically what they were doing was inflating the curve. And
uh-huh.
so basically students are becoming angry because of the simple fact they can't make the grade.
Right.
And if you look in the first incident that they talked about where a student was killing professors was
right.
in U of A.
Right.
And Tucson, where the young man, he went to the nursing college and killed his professor.
That's right.
But then there was another incident happened in Massachusetts, University of Massachusetts, where a student, he didn't get a grade. I believe he was from India. He
mm-hmm.
went to the professor's house and stabbed him.
That's right. That's
the teacher.
Right. That's
and
right.
then the last one, of course, was the Virginia Tech massacre.
Well, oh, yes.
They just went there and just blew up. So what's going on? Why is there so much anger
mm-hmm.
with young adults? And the young adults, according to research, is between the ages 16 to 24. This is where these young adults are just getting angry with the educational system in America.
You know, you're absolutely right, because I think that that's the average age for the Occupy group also that's emerging in our society, which is a bunch of college students around the country, basically, that are just fighting against corporate greed. So that's a very good point you bring out.
Well, the reason why is this. A lot of children are not prepared for college.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the people that are coming out that are killing and becoming frustrated are those who have been emphasized. You have to go to school. You have to get the good grades. You have to have get this degree, or you're going to be nothing, or you're going to be worth nothing. If you look at countries like India, Japan, a college education or education is so highly prevalent that the suicide rate in Japan and the Asian country are higher than it is here in the United States and all around the world, because those grades are what's going to allow what they're going to be when they grow up, or kind of job that they're going to get, not here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start having students come and they're paying this money now, and especially among male, white males, they are really angry with this educational system in America, where they're just like, you know what, I can't take it no more. They just kill.
Right, right.
So the anger of the educational system, where it's more violent, and and if you look at the research, it's coming from more white males than any other ethnic group.
Yes, 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 right.
And it's becoming more and more, and it's getting more media attention.
Well, in addition to that, I mean, and you're right about the issue of white males being taking a majority lead in random shootings and random school violence on campus. You're also talking about you talk about 1992 to 2007. In that range, you had gangs that were starting to develop in urban areas, especially among African American youth. Black youth were have started fighting among themselves, and that anger, most of them, of course, had dropped out of school already. And so their anger was already in the fact that they had to succumb to a lifestyle that most of them were not even ready for. And so their anger continued to develop, where you didn't see the shootings and the killing so much on the campuses. Of course, you did see some, but it moved into the neighborhoods now. The neighborhoods became a learning campus, their school. And so it's really interesting how violence and anger has continued to grow and progress just in that area, that range that you talked about from 1992 to 2007. That was inclusive of Columbine High School and all of the tremendous amount, numerous reports of violence and anger that we've seen since Columbine, including the Virginia Tech. So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Well, the other thing you mentioned, that violence, you know, gang violence became prevalent in the early 90s, and that's true. But keep in mind, with our youth, the Black community, Native Americans, and the Hispanics, our violence came is more in high school and middle school, because normally after that they drop out of school, so they're not even reaching college.
Right, right.
So
that's true.
There, if you want to look at that number, that's a totally different number, separate from the ones who are angry in college. So if you want to do a compare and contrast, the youth, African-American youth, and the children, Hispanic, Native American, they start in high school, middle school, whereas the angry white male become angry when he hits college, the first or second year in college. And then that's where he start to become angry with the system. Because normally they make it when they hit the university level. Now, when Columbine came out, that just threw everybody for a loop.
Right.
Because he just came out one day and just said, I'm angry, and he just shooting up the whole school. But in our neighborhoods, that's just a normal thing. It became a normal trend to see blacks on black crime, Chicanos on, you know, in our neighborhood. That has just been in our barrios and things like that. That's just
right.
a normal trend.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see that in communities and white communities.
Mm-hmm.
And
suburban
more
America.
Of the anger when they hit college, because they make it to college, but then that's when the pressures begin, when they hit
yes.
college level.
Yeah, this is so true. Do you see that also, Habibullah?
Yeah, I'm looking at the ability, and she's talking about anger, you know, in terms of learning and achievement, and it deals with expression. It deals with expression. In other words, I was told once that a flea or an ant has the same right towards expression as an elephant. And once you try to deny a flea or an ant or anything, you know, they're gonna react in a way that you may call it violent.
Right.
But it's really a desire for self-expression.
Yes. Desire self-expression. For self-expression. Yes.
So it's a energy outlet.
Yes.
So in that word gang, G-A-N-G, gang, you have the word gag, G-A-G.
Mm-hmm.
Gag. So if I put my hand over your mouth or gag your mouth, you start automatically by nature attempting to free yourself and get back to whereby you can have that freedom of expression or breathing.
Yes. That's right.
So I'm saying education is a form of breathing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a form of dignified expression.
Dignified expression. I like that. Yes, it is.
It's a form of dignified expression. And when you can't express yourself with dignity, it starts reversing inside yourself. Inside of yourself, you start reversing. And there's only two ways to go. It's a thin line between love and hate. Now listen to that word. Love, thin line between love and hate. Okay? Now, the word love is sitting between the word thin and it's sitting in between the word hate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the key. You can either love being wrong or you can love being correct.
Right.
But love has to take place. Just like freedom of expression has to take place. And when you attempt to interfere with that, it can easily cause someone to be described as being angry.
Yes. And this is why what Sister Kelma was bringing out is that we have not only the white male who's very angry, and I love the way she put together how when they're getting ready to go to college is when the pressure becomes so great on white males, and now white females who are entering the college at a very high rate. And let's not forget, I don't want to get into the statistics on veterans and the returning veterans and how they're feeling about returning to school, the anger that they're expressing. We're already seeing it. Some of it's coming out in the job, in the workforce arena, where they're starting to shoot. In their domestic lives, they're starting to shoot and kill their wives or their children. And these are people who have served in Afghanistan and Iraq, and that kind of thing. And so they're coming, and they're increasing numbers on our campuses. So then we've got students with disabilities, learning disabilities as well as physical, that are angry about the way that they're being treated and the lack of accessibility to education and connectedness.
Well, you remember, Dr. White, you remember there was a professional female, female professor. Remember she killed her peers?
Yes.
She shot up her peers?
Yes.
Her colleagues?
Yes.
And the reason that was she was being evaluated, and they had evaluated her below par.
Mm-hmm.
And as if she wasn't qualified to the extent that she felt she should have been.
Yes.
So she turned on her colleagues, and I think she killed about four colleagues on
mm-hmm.
professional level.
Yes.
But it goes back to how are you grading me or how are you degrading me?
Right. How are you? Right. Exactly. How are you
how
degrading?
How are you grading me or how are you degrading me?
Mm-hmm. And these grades seem to have such a heavy impact on our students. And I mean, now it's to the point, it's not even the black student or white student. It was a time during my coming up where it was just nice, if you were black, it was just nice for you to get through high school, okay? Now the pressure is very, very great on many of our black children, not only to go to college, but to excel. And we're told early in life, talk about angry from the very beginning. If I'm told at the beginning of my life, you've always got to be better, you've always got to be the best, you've already told me that I'm separate from the norm. You've already laid that out for me now. And so that means that I have to put out even more energy in order to excel than somebody else. That makes me angry too, okay? Why should I have to do that? I'm a human being just like everybody else. So now we got racism facing us before we even get out the door to, you know, sixth and seventh grade to middle school arena. And that's really disheartening. Talk about degrading. Kelmer, yes. I mean, I know you've got something to say on that degrading issue.
Yes, I do. I just want to go back just a little bit back to the point where it was a female teacher who killed her colleagues. Well, she killed her colleagues because she was denied tenure, you know,
yes.
And this was at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, you know. So her issue is a little bit more different than it is with the topic we're discussing because of the simple fact that it's not that she was killing because of a grade.
Right.
She was killing because she was denied the right that she had. Mm. She had tenure.
Right.
So you're not going to find many white females or even females at all killing because of the pressure of getting the grade and trying to assimilate into society. She was killing because of the injustice that was done to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that goes back to that lack of being able to, that self-expression.
It goes back to that expression.
Mm-hmm. She was gagged, and so therefore we can see that she was not able to express herself and to reach her full potential. And
right.
I guess in a way that is kind of interrelated with what Kelmer is talking about here about the grades and the anger, because somehow or another, you know, the grade is a way of saying, you know, here I am, I'm expressing myself, I'm a B student or I'm a C student, why am I an A student? You know, and what does that mean? What does that mean as far as our whole outlook on ourselves? You know, as I said earlier in the show, we're not just talking about students in the classroom, we're talking about people. Okay, and so, you know, when we think about our reflection, you know, what is the reflection of a C student versus the reflection of an A student or an A person? Kelmer, you have any thing to say on that?
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. A C student, you're barely making it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true when it comes to grades. I teach children as early as 3.5 years old, and I can tell who's going to be an A student and who's going to be a C student because of the way they handle their work. I have students that, you know, are 4 years old, and they are perfectionists now because I teach the way I teach trying to be the best. And then I have some of those students that say, look, this is all you're going to get out of me right now. And I'm like, okay, fine. They don't really care about their work. They just want to do it so I don't have to be on their tails and move on. They just want to barely make, because some students are just not interested in the academia world. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get back into, I was, for example, as me going to college. Now, I'm an A student when it comes to I've got to get this degree because my focus was trying to get into medical school. So I just got my first degree was in family education because I was told that you can get any degree you want. As long as you get your degree, you can go into medical school. So I'm trying to get the easiest degree I can to get out of this bachelor so I can get into the real field that I want. And a teacher said to me, because I was doing a computer class. I was learning about computers. Well, I was interested in that day. And he had said to me, you know what, you're really A student, but you're giving me B work. And he said, you're just trying to get by. And I'm thinking to myself, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
So it depends on what the subject is. But I floored when it came to biology and science because I loved it. So I wanted to know and grasp as much as information as I can. Now, if you look at the children in middle school and in the urban community, depending on if the teacher cannot ignite or excite, as brother is saying, then basically they don't really, they're not going to care about that class. Even though they can, if every child or every student is an A student, it depends on who can excite and ignite that button that's inside. And that is our goal as teachers and educators, is to make them become excited in learning in any subject that is there. Because if you're not excited about the subject, how are you going to make that student excited and want to know it? So you have to become professional or masters in each subject so that you can explain it to young children so they can get excited and love to learn whatever that subject is all about.
And that's a good point, that excitement that we talked about. I think Habibullah expounded on that a little bit more when she said that it's not exciting to be in the classroom, that the sports issue is so exciting. You get all that applause going, and then you go into the classroom, and the excitement is lacking. Okay, and I can understand. I definitely can relate to that from a sports enthusiast perspective. To sitting in that European style classroom of not moving, and so you definitely degrade the kinesthetic learner, the one who and this is most children today. That's just our society. Most children today are movement oriented. So kinesthetic learning is becoming the wave. I mean, you know, visual and learning and auditory learning, they're there. But students like to move. And this labeling now that goes on, talk about another source of anger, that a student must sit in the classroom and sit behind a desk and not move around is outdated. It's not going to work anymore, and it causes a student to be labeled as ADD. We can get into the labeling issue and the anger behind that from a parent and teacher perspective, and definitely student. But I'm just trying to make a point that there's so many things that are going on to make us lose that excitement in education, and we need to bring that back. People like you, Professor Kelmer, who's coming in and can give us that structure, and people like you, Habibullah, who can come in and breed that type of excitement, are what's needed in our educational system, and we love you for that. And love, that love is so important, because that kind of anger leads to fear, but also that optimism leads to a loving attitude towards students, and that's very important. We have a few minutes still left on the show, and I want our guests this morning to have a chance to at least close up. We have about 7 minutes left, and I have some things that I need to share with all of you teachers out there about things that you should never do when a student's angry. So I want to try to get that in before we close. But as we're moving towards some kind of, and we, like you said earlier, you can't reach a solution in 4 episodes. I don't think if we went all year, we'd actually reach a solution to this totally, because there's so many things that we're dealing with as far as why students are angry and why teachers are angry. But at least I think that overall, if I could get Kelmer to summarize how she feels that we can start addressing this problem, and Habibullah, if you could do the same as we come to a close now,
how do you feel that we can close this, at least
come to a situation where we can get everybody at the table talking about this? Go ahead, Habibullah.
I just want to say, in 1965, 150 years ago, we were talking about the education and trying to fix the educational system in 1965. Today, in 2012, we are still talking about how to fix the educational system.
Right.
We need a new educational paradigm, a new educational shift. Remember this. Our educational system is built on 50-year-old educational system that was brought here when people started emerging to America.
Right.
And it came from the Prussian system over there in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So here now, we're in 2012, and we're fighting to find out why now America, the United States, is ranked among, like, the 16th in the nation, you know, in first world nation in education. We're fighting, and we're screaming about it. And what my minister, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, taught me is that we need to really dismantle this educational system and start to change the way education is taught to our children, because you can't put old wine into a new bottle. You can't teach the children today the way we were taught yesterday. That's just not going to make sense. And education is the only system of discipline that has not been upgraded and changed. You have new technology, medicine have changed and upgraded. You have everything, engineering has changed and upgraded, but education is the only discipline that is still the way it was in 1965, 150 years ago.
Wow. Very little progression there. We're seeing more degradation than progression. Brother Habibullah, would you please give us a few closing? We'll be close to that time now.
All right. I just want to close real quick by saying oftentimes we want to promote educational excellence. And what the way we're going to get educational excellence is through human excellence. Human excellence. Our Creator created us to pursue the excellence within ourselves, the excellence within each and every one of us. There is an excellence in there, and we need to pursue that. We're not put here to show our muscles and put on a little tight sheet T-shirt so we can show how many muscles we have. That's not our purpose that the Creator put us here for. We got to pursue excellence within. And so that excellence allows us to have variety. There's a little guy who can't dunk. Then there's a tall guy who can dunk. There's a guy who can pass the ball. There's another guy who can really shoot the ball. So we need to accept these varieties in a way, as long as they're not detrimental to us. And when we pursue human excellence, educational excellence will come to the forefront. That's all I want to say.
Wow, that is terrific. Thank you so much. Both of you have just been such a valuable presentation, just a valuable presentation to our listeners out there. I think that we've exceeded now up to 24,000 people who have actually accessed our show. And so out of all of those people that are out there that you've listened to our show and hopefully will come back and listen to this particular episode, we thank you so much. You know, the show is growing, I guess, because somehow or another, the Creator sees this as something that people are hungry to discuss. And building that student-to-teacher relationship is so important. That's the only way we're gonna at least start to bring people to the table. As we close, it was also this. I wanted to bring out some of the things that you should not do with an angry student. So like some people have told me, they write down things from the show. So get your pens and pencils out, and let me just give this to you, that I'm talking to you. I got this from the internet, okay? And it's how to handle angry, verbally aggressive students. One of the things that this Michael Linson brings out is to make sure that we don't get into risking escalation with students. Never yell at them. Don't scold them and use authority right away. And avoid touching them, okay? And don't – sometimes it's important, teachers out there, just to shut up, okay? Because angry people don't want to talk. They want to act. They want something to do. Sometimes just being in their presence will mean so much to them. We thank you so much for being part of our show. The upcoming episode, Teachers with Mental Illness, is coming up in the next few weeks. And we thank our other sponsor, Dr. Beverly Polnitz, for bringing healthy minds to us through Forever Green products. So we ask that if you're interested in good minerals and vitamins that come from the sea, you want to call White Apple Institute at 480-471-8082 and ask for Dr. Beverly Polnitz, and she'll guide you on that. We thank all of our sponsors, and we appreciate you, all of you, for being part of the Student to Teacher show this Saturday morning, January 28th. Thank you so much, guests, for coming in today. Please continue to follow your the goal that you have is to reduce anger among ourselves and our students. So thank you, Habibullah Saleem. Thank you, Kelmer Muhammad.
Thank you.
Okay, for being with us today. And we'll close our show with a thank you to Nazim Rashim. And his show follows ours with Reconnected coming right up at you on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Okay.